This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Anthrax is probably most closely associated with those bioterrorism attacks in 2001. That's when deadly white powder was sent through the mail. But in Colorado this summer, anthrax has turned up in its natural state and killed more than 50 cattle on a number of different ranches near Sterling. To learn how anthrax finds its way into livestock, we got in touch with Mary Stromberger. She's a microbiologist at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so we hear after these cattle deaths that anthrax is found in nature. And this might sound silly, but where does one go to find anthrax in nature? Where is it dwelling?
It lives in the soil, actually. It's a soil bacterium.
And I suppose then if I went and just dug up soil in a random place, what, there's a chance that there would be anthrax present?
Yeah, there is a chance. I mean, it's found in soils all over the world, but it's not a very common soil organism. It's very slow growing. It doesn't compete well with lots of other organisms that live in the soil. So it tends to be found in greater chances in certain types of soils. So they like soils that are higher in pH and higher in calcium content. That happens to be most of the soils here in the western United States, and especially in Colorado.
I see. So that is key. What is anthrax? What form does it take?
Well, as a growing organism, an active organism, it's a bacterial cell. So a single cell that lives in the environment. However, when its survival is threatened, it produces a survival structure. So if the soils get too dry or too wet, or they run out of nutrients, basically the cell is facing death, and it will create a spore as a survival structure. Making that spore is a sacrifice of the cell. It's accepted its death, and now it's this last resort of continuing on its genetic information.
And I suppose it's at this point that it might transfer into an animal.
Right. So these spores are very small and light, and they can get carried in water. So, for example, if the soils are drying, as the water evaporates and moves up and out of the soil, it can pull those spores up closer to the surface of the soil. And then as cattle are grazing and they're grazing down on those grasses and they have their noses close to the ground, they can actually inhale those spores. And then once those spores are in a nice warm body, they germinate and the cells reproduce like crazy. And now you have a massive infection. And then these cells start producing these lethal toxins which kill the animal.
Hmm. And so the survival mechanism of this cell, boy, was it effective.
Right. These spores are known to resist desiccation, heat, UV light. They're so hard to kill, and they can sit in the soil for years and decades and sometimes even centuries.
I don't imagine it's very often that people are having their noses in the grass like cattle, but are there ways in which this process also makes people more vulnerable?
So humans, in case of the inhalation, humans need to inhale a massive amount of spores that you typically wouldn't get exposed to. Where we worry about human contamination is, for example, if a human eats contaminated meat and that meat is undercooked. Another way would be, for example, if a person had a cut on their skin and somehow the spores got into their bodies through this cut.
Now, you talk about the fact that a human has to ingest a lot of spores to be vulnerable. I guess fewer than cattle? The cattle are just more susceptible?
Right. Cattle are directly exposed to the soil more often than humans. Human cases of anthrax are actually very rare. One human death every year or so.
Though I'll say that even among cattle, it's somewhat rare. I mean, this is the case in Northeastern Colorado is the first documented case in three decades.
Right.
But as we've said, the conditions are ripe.
The conditions are ripe. We've had a severe drought And you know, without me visiting this ranch, I don't know what the landscape looks like, but you have to have all the conditions being favorable. You have to have the right soil, the environmental stress that triggers the sporulation. The spores have to be close to the surface of the soil. The plants have to be, of course, during a drought, the plants are going to be very small in stature, so the animals are grazing literally down to the ground. So there's a number of things that have to happen at the same time for an outbreak to occur.
Well, this makes me think that there might be something ranchers can do to, I don't know, lessen the likelihood that their herd is exposed.
Right. So one of the things, of course, is vaccination. There is an anthrax vaccine, and it's actually routinely done in lots of places where there's a history of anthrax outbreaks. They should probably look at the landscape and look for key areas such as depressions where water might pool and spores might collect and concentrate. And maybe it might even be possible that they could fence off those areas to prevent the cattle from collecting there, from going there and staying there.
About anthrax, is it all evil, or does it bring joy to the world in any way at all?
Well, I heard the ban has brought joy to some people. But no, in terms of the disease, I really cannot think off the top of my head of a joy that it's brought to the world. We have these horrible outbreaks that occur globally, and millions of cattle, for example, can be lost. There's a famous story of Genghis Khan traveling across the desert during his conquest and stirring up all the dust in the desert and moving horses and cattle. And I believe there was a time where they lost an estimated 1 million head of cattle and horses due to anthrax outbreak.
Thank you so much for explaining this to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mary Stromberger is a microbiologist at Colorado State University. About the anthrax-stricken cattle in northeastern Colorado, the Department of Agriculture says no meat entered the food chain and that humans are not at risk for infection.